flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Santana Moss is with us. Santana is going to be at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown. He's going to be a big part of opening up the ESPN Bet Sportsbook in early 2025. He's going to host a ribbon-cutting celebration today. And this morning's celebration will include a brief ceremony followed by a meet and greet with number 89. So I haven't talked to you in a while. I mean, not since maybe the middle part of the season. I mean, overall, like, your biggest takeaway from this incredible, surprising, shocking 12-5 to the NFC Championship we went season is what?
That's a tough question out of the gate, Kevin. What I would say is the culture change. That stands out more than anything. I think now going forward, when 2025 season kicks off and these guys are back, to me the culture will be already set. I'm expecting to see, you know, these guys play or, you know, buy into what we've already seen this, you know, this season already. And I thought that was going to be a task, you know, in, you know, probably in itself for these guys to come in here and try to change all the stuff that had been going on. So to see it happen so soon out the gate, to see the whole team buy in, the brotherhood effect, all that, any and every guy that now they pick up, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting these guys to buy in out the gate and be a part of this new brotherhood and culture change.
That's so interesting because I think, you know, the obvious answer is everybody would just say, well, Jaden, you know, they strapped the back to the back of Jaden. But what you said is, I said something the other day in terms of off-season priorities. Culture continuation. They created something here in year one that they've got to continue. You've been a part of teams. The locker room does change. They're not going to come back the exact same way. So what do they need to look for? What do they need to keep? Who do they need to keep?
I mean, that's an interesting question in itself, you know, and I think one of the things you want to do is always take care of home first. So that's going to be interesting going forward when, you know, to see how many bodies do get kept, you know, as far as those free agents. I think it's like, what, 20-something, 23-something free agents that's going to be, you know, able to have a chance to go elsewhere and get paid. Or do we have a chance to really pay them and keep them here for another year? That's a great, you know, that's going to be an interesting question, I think, in itself. But there's going to be names. I can't really call them. There's going to be guys that you have to just say, hey, I got to run him back with this guy. You know, I throw one out there, Chin. I mean, I'm talking about Chin. I truly believe that he's a guy that you want to have around. I think his impact alone at the safety position, him and Quan together, was just so dynamic. And I would love to see him, you know, for a few more years. I know, you know, he's going to be a guy with a pretty pricey price tag. So, you know, I know we have the money, but, you know, is that a guy that you feel that, hey, I can go out there and pay and keep on my team? It's going to be the question. But I think you take care of home first. You know, that's obvious. And then from there, it's going to be some upgrades, too, out there. I think it's going to be plenty of guys that you can get elsewhere that probably is better than a couple of bites that we had here, that you can go out there and say, you know what, we have the bag, we can afford these guys, so let's go out there and bring them into the situation.
Is there somebody out there that's not on the roster? I mean, everybody's talked about T. Higgins, obviously, but is there somebody that you really think would be, if it were you running it, you'd spend the money on?
I really don't know, man, honestly. You know what, it's...
I know.
To me, it gets to the point where, I'm going to be honest with you, I've been a part of the teams here that we went out and got names. Names never work. You know, you can always go out and get that guy who was great elsewhere. It doesn't always add up, you know? And if you think about it, for so many years, when you look at some of the things that happened through my years up until this point, far as a guy who was traded here, how many other guys were successful as me, you know, when I was traded? Or when it comes to big free agent pickups, how many other guys we picked up that had a more of an impact or you know, that did better than a London Fletcher? You know what I mean? So we didn't always get lucky with those. So now going forward with the new, you know, regime, the new staff, ownership, AP being as good as he is when it comes to picking talent, it's all about just getting the right fit. And it's all about those guys that's willing to buy in and be a part of what we created here right now. And I think, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the guys that's going to go out here and be able to buy in and contribute to, I think, that's already a good team.
I know you and I have talked about this before, but 2006, the Randall L., the Brandon Lloyd, I always refer to it as the 5 for $35, because everybody just got five-year deals for $35 million.
Yeah,
and Randall L. comes here as a receiver but a punt returner, and he really didn't want to return punts when he got here. Right.
Well, that's the same. Yeah, that's the same thing with me. You know, I came in and they say, well, Tanner could do both. And by the time I got here after my first season, they quickly said it. Well, you know, we don't want him back there returning punts because he means so much to our offense. So that's what I'm saying, man. You just it has to be about the guys that's willing to that you're willing to go out there and say, man, he fits the mold. And we saw also, you know, throughout this season, early in the season, you know, getting rid of Jahan Dotson made us all scratch our heads, but it was all about having the guys that's going to buy in and having the guys that, you know, that fit the mold of what Dan Quinn wanted in players. And that's, you know, that dog-ass mentality. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I know it's a lot of football players out there that fits it. It's all about us going out there and getting it now.
Well, it's a really good point, because we're all as fans going to sit here and name names and talk about dudes that are free agents. And what we never know is what they need to know, which is, well, what kind of guy is this guy? You know, is he going to fit in to what we've started to build here culturally? And so that's for them to decide, you know, and figure out and have success with. But I do want to talk a bit. You mentioned Chin. You know, I said the other day, man, like Wagner and Ertz, and even to a lesser degree, a guy like Mariota, who was so big for Jaden, I think they got to seriously consider bringing those guys back, not just for the leadership piece, Santana, but they were highly productive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things about this league, man, it's like a revolving door. But they come and go, especially when they're not tied into long-term deals. And so, to me, it's almost like it's a given that you bring back those guys. I think those guys' roles was dynamic enough to basically, you know, like especially Mariota. Who'd have thought that Mariota, both times he got in the game, his effect would have had given us a chance to win like that. And I'm gonna tell you the truth, I didn't believe Mariota had that in him. So just to know that he was able to come here and not only be a guy that can mentor a young Jaden Daniels, but he actually went out there and won us two games. That meant the world to our season. That meant the world to what we was doing and to the journey that we was on. And then we talk about those other guys, like I said, man, you know, having a Bobby in here for 1 year. I mean, who would have thought that Bobby would have been able to be a staple like that? I mean, I saw his career. I saw how great he was in Seattle and those other places. But you know, people kind of looked at Bobby as just being another body, and he was clearly a Pro Bowler kind of, you know, talent out there, you know, week in and week out, and he meant so much to the middle of our, you know, our linebacker position that we had been, you know, bad at for so many years. You know, we hadn't had great linebacker play here for almost 6 years plus. So, yeah, guys like that, man, that had an impact, that meant so much to our team, is almost like a layup to me that you have to, you know, run it back with him.
Talking to Santana Moss, he's celebrating the grand opening of ESPN Bet Sportsbook Hollywood Casino at Charlestown, hosting a ribbon-cutting celebration this morning. There's a brief ceremony, meet and greet. It's one of 10 additional retail sportsbooks at Key Penn Entertainment Properties being rebranded to ESPN Bet Sportsbook in early 2025. I think most of you know that Hollywood Casino at Charlestown is conveniently located about an hour drive from the Beltway. Santana is joining us. One more thing about sort of looking forward, and then I do want to look back a little bit to Sunday and talk about the Eagles and our team and the difference between the two right now. But if I told you that they only got one, a wide receiver or a running back, which would you choose for next year? A big-time playmaker at running back or a big-time playmaker at wide receiver, which would be more important? Which would be the priority for you?
To be honest with you, I love B-Rob and I love Eckler. But if you had to just say we only could choose one of those guys and which one I would want more, I kind of would want the big play running back, just knowing how, you know, vital that position is. I mean, people want to try to, you know, use these guys sparingly and say you don't need those guys, but it's clearly, you know, Saquon and King Henry shows you how valuable a big-time running back can be to your offense. So I would say big-time running back. I think receivers, man, you know, you can always get a great talent at receiver. You know, you can get a guy that can – I mean, I think quarterbacks always makes receivers. Don't get me wrong. There's some guys that's special enough to really make an offense and make a quarterback, but you very – seldom see that, you know what I mean? But quarterbacks do make receivers better. And having a Jaden Daniels, I believe you can throw any guy out there who's going to be sure-handed and who's going to do his job. He could put up numbers. But a big-time running back is hard to come by, man. It's hard to come by.
I'm telling you, after watching Barkley, watching Gibbs, watching Bijan Robinson, watching Derrick Henry against our team, I'm with you. I don't know if everybody would agree with it, but I'm with you. But they're also very hard to find. And the other reason I say that, Santana, is that I thought Kliff did just a great job of just scheming everybody open.
Like, well, he did.
Right?
Tremendous job. Tremendous job. He don't get enough credit for it. Tremendous job. Week in and week out, man, those formations, those sets, those game plans, like just to come with something different. Like, he spread the ball out. He spread the formations out and did things with his offense that he didn't get enough credit for. And don't get me wrong, I know Jaden Daniels just played that much, better week in and week out, also being so young, and we didn't expect that. But a lot of credit goes to Kliff, man, because without Kliff to make those layups for him at times, to get him going, you know what I mean? You know, what would we be saying about our offense? So, yes, you know, and it got to a point at one time where we was like, oh, this is what Kliff shows throughout his career as a coach, you know, at the second half of the season, this is what the offense does. You heard that no more after a couple of games, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
It just shows you, man, a lot of credit to the coaching staff, period, but Kliff does need to get his flowers, man, because that offense, man, it was at times that I saw things and I'm like, man, it's how can we – make it past this defense, especially a defense like, you know, Philly, that the third time around, just to see us go out there and actually lost the game ourselves by the fumble and the ball, you know, but we still was in the game. You take away those fumbles, we can go out there and really can honestly say that we could have potential of beating that team, because to me, I swear we lost the game at fumbling the ball. You can't give a juggernaut team the ball back like that, and we did just that.
All right, let's end with that, because I agree with you. I think the final score was not indicative of how competitive the game was. Also think that Philadelphia was the better team. And I think
they had
the better
roster.
Doubt.
Man for man. Yeah, no doubt.
So my question to you is, how big is the gap between Philadelphia and Washington, and can they close it in one off season?
Ah, get Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To be honest with you, to get back to that, because I know you said that was the fight, you don't want to go down that road, but I want to go down that road.
Go.
Even with them being player for player probably better than us, if we don't fumble those balls, we don't have those fumbling mishaps throughout the game, four turnovers and one turnover at the down, we could honestly say, man, if we in that game, it was at a point in that game where I saw the Philadelphia defense tired. Like, man, we giving these guys, with Saquon first touch for 60 yards and the fumbles back-to-back, we were still in the game, down by 8. And then we was down by 11 after all that. So you tell me, like, I've been in too many games like that.
Fourth and 5 missed holding call on Barkley on Luvu was the difference between having the lead at halftime and being down 12.
Exactly.
That one missed call.
So the point I'm trying to make is...
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I've been a part of games where teams was just, man for man, better. They gave you everything they had, and guess what? This team is still there. You know what ended up happening? The team that was better loses. That's all I have to say. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We would have been on the same road that we just went down with these guys at home, where the team was better than us, and we found a way to win because they couldn't get rid of us. And that's what I was seeing. I'm like, bro, this team is going to quit sooner or later because they looking like, wow, we had a home run from my first carry. They done fumbled the ball already at that time twice. We done got away with a holding call, and still they're here. We can't get rid of this team. You see what I'm saying? So I just feel like
– I do, but the bottom line is they won by 32 points.
You're right, and guess why? Because the fumbling never stopped, and he kept giving our defense – bad feel.
Sure.
So it's
but
easy.
They forced
it's
some of those fumbles,
to
too.
They forced most of those fumbles. That's what I'm saying. They went out their way and took the game. And like I said, and when it all boils down to, I'm not sitting here trying to argue that, we should have won. No, that's not my argument right here. My argument is, as a Commander fan, as an alumni, we literally gave them, we did what we shouldn't have done. Let those guys go out there and beat us. We gave them the game by giving us those fumbles. Like, we never gave ourselves a chance to a team that was, to me, outright better than us.
Real quickly, who wins the Super Bowl?
I think Philly comes into this game better than Kansas City, but I think you just have to beat Mahomes and Reid, and I feel like that's going to be the deciding factor. If Andy Reid and Mahomes can outplay, to me, like I said before, a juggernaut in Philadelphia, that team is well equipped. They should win it, but it's going to be hard because Kansas City have Andy and Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get that's my answer. I don't know, but that's
I know
that,
you've
that's
got
to
run. I appreciate you doing this. Let's catch up soon. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, Santana Moss, everybody out at Hollywood Casino in Charlestown. It's going to be shifted to ESPN Bet Sportsbook in early 2025. That is an easy drive to Charlestown. I've done it. The casino's great. The sportsbook is great. Check it out. Yeah, you know, I think that I feel, and talked about it obviously all day Monday and even part of Tuesday, I do feel like that final score just doesn't reflect the game and how competitive it was. Part of it is the perspective that we all had, which is, yeah, we've been down before with this quarterback and come back, including against that team, you know, a month earlier, you know, down 13 in the late third quarter, down 14 early in the game, Down 34-23 when we got the stop and got the ball back, I actually thought we were going to go down and this was going to come down to the end. So one way or the other, it was going to come down to the final possession. If we had the ball, Washington wins. If they had the ball, Philly wins. But I didn't think it would get sideways the way it got. But it did get sideways. And it got sideways in part because of the turnovers, no doubt. The other part of it was Washington could not stop them because they were getting absolutely manhandled, you know, both sides of the ball in the trenches. Not the entire game. I thought the pass rush was decent. You know, I thought there were a couple of big-time plays by Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong in particular. But I feel the way Santana does and expressed that obviously earlier this week that they'll look back. People will look back at the history of the NFC Championship game and see Philadelphia scored more points than any other team in the history of the game, and they'll say, wow, they pummeled Washington. But like a lot of games, the final score does not tell the whole tale. And 4th and 5, still to me in that game, is the single biggest play of the game in terms of how the score got to where it got. Because at 14-12, if you see, which they had to see, you can't miss a holding right in front of the quarterback in a running back stepping up in pass pro against a blitzing linebacker. You can miss a guard holding against a D tackle. You can even miss a tackle sometimes, although it's harder to miss a tackle on the outside, you know, holding an edge rusher. You can't miss a running back stepping up in pass protection to block a blitzing linebacker, who, by the way, has already had some success in the game, when he's grabbed as egregiously as he was and held and twisted away from the quarterback, who then has just enough time on a 4th down to throw a 31-yard strike to A.J. Brown. That's the play. When I think about this game, and let's hope we've got more important games to reminisce about in the coming years, I would hate 5 years from now if we're still like reminiscing about the run in 2024 and the loss in the NFC Championship game and the 4th and 5, that holding penalty that wasn't called. Keep in mind, it's a possibility. It's the NFL. Things change. We have a quarterback that should prevent that from happening. You know, how many times and for how many years were we just talking about 2012? You know, never in the moment thinking that that was going to be it. You know, for me, even, and for many of you, the 2016 offense, my God, it was unstoppable. Talk about a team that barely punted. They punted fewer than anybody in the league that year. But that's so long ago. I don't think we're going to be in a position 5 years from now where we are waxing, you know, and reminiscing about the 2024 NFC title game in Philadelphia and what a run it was. Remember the Detroit game? Oh my God, what a great Saturday night that was. How about the doinked field goal against Tampa? Hopefully 5 years from now, there are another, you know, an average of just say two playoff games per year for the next 4 years, another 8 to 9, 10 playoff games deep into the playoffs, Super Bowl to reminisce about and to talk about. Now, this first year of Jaden Daniels, as I've said all week, and for a younger generation, the first experience with what it's like to play big time, high stakes, late stage NFL playoff games, you're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget the Tampa game, never forget the Detroit game, and you'll never forget the 4th and 5 missed holding. You'll never forget the 4 turnovers. You'll never forget the Eckler fumble because there was a chance late 3rd quarter that they were in the midst of a drive that was going to cut the lead to 3. Worst case, 5 if they missed the 2-point conversion. I just hope that we're not talking exclusively about the Tampa-Detroit and Philadelphia games 5 years from now. I don't think we will be. I think the chances of that happening with 5 at quarterback and with the culture that they are creating, that's a long shot. We should be a year from now either getting ready for one more game or at least talking about another successful season and another successful playoff game or two. That's what you want to be in, man. You just want to be in that mode of knowing year in and year out, you got a chance. you're good enough to win more than you lose, get to the postseason, and you're looking around and you're like, well, we have the best quarterback. And maybe next year it'll be, we got the best receiving core, or we've got the best and most explosive offense, or we've got the best pass rush. If they add to that, who knows what it'll be. I want to talk about Philadelphia when we come back. Jason Kelce on his podcast said something about Jalen Hurts that I think is interesting. We'll get to that after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Tough night for the Wizards last night. They get crushed at home by the Lakers, 134-96. Not a good one. Bronny James had a career high. That's when you know things are not going well for our Washington Wizards. They are now 6-41. It's the second time this season they have had a 16-game losing streak. We knew it would be bad. It does not negate the fact that they are a tough watch. Jordan Poole had 19 points. He was not named an All-Star yesterday, despite the fact that he made a claim for it. Also left off the roster was LaMelo Ball. The full roster announcement was made yesterday. LaMelo Ball had the most fan votes of any guard in the Eastern Conference, yet did not make the roster. Elsewhere in the city, the Capitals on the road against Ottawa. They lose in overtime 5-4, but Alex Ovechkin scored his 876th goal. That's 18 away from tying the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Commanders assistant coach and pass game coordinator Brian Johnson interviewed for the vacant Texans OC job. They fired Bobby Slowick earlier this week, and now Brian Johnson is interviewing for that job. And that's what's trending.